Hi, I'm Lauren Sherman, the host of Fashion People. I love fashion, obviously, but shopping for fashion online is kind of annoying. There's endless scrolling, my size is always out of stock, and I can't actually find what I want. No one has really made this work for me. That is until List. Instead of browsing different stores one by one, on List you can see and shop all of the best fashion. List is the secret shopping weapon now used by all my most stylish, cool, and in-the-know friends. Don't shop around. Join 200 million fashion shoppers, including me, on list.com. That's L-Y-S-T. Or download the List app on the App Store today.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
All right, it's Wednesday at 3 o'clock. Time to talk to our guy, Dan Orlovsky, ESPN. Dan is brought to you by Northeast Electrical, where pros need pros at needco.com. Joining us on the Harbor One Hotline is Dan Orlovsky. Very good day for the defense team of one Mac Jones. Dan, I would ask you, is that the best game Mac has played, maybe in his career?
Certainly this year. I don't know if it's his career. He obviously had some pretty darn good performances last year, but certainly this season. More confident. You know, the plan was a little bit better. You know, playing against a defense in Minnesota that wants to play a ton of zone. So I like the fact that when they got the, you know, the way I looked at the game was, let's get the ball to the quarterback's hands early to the perimeter with this team that was playing a ton of zone. And I don't know if that was because of Minnesota and their scheme, that zone-based scheme defensively, or the fact that the Patriots, I've kind of realized outside of Jacoby, they don't have a receiver that can win on the perimeter against man. So they saw a ton of zone, get the ball to his hands, and then when they wanted to put the ball downfield and try to stretch the field vertically, it was a little bit more underneath the center. It was a little bit more play action. So I like the plan the most this year, and certainly Mac's best performance.
Yeah, and Dan, that's why I think a lot of people in New England are trying to kind of figure out what they saw, because I think this year it was his best outing, and yet the team went 3-for-10 on third down, 0-for-3 in the red zone, kind of really screwed up kind of going into halftime, and then the fourth quarter didn't put up a point, you know, in a close ball game. So it's like, as good as it was, it just sort of shows you that team's still kind of like a mess offensively.
Yeah, but you know, that red zone stuff, the third downs is never going to be what they're good at this year. Third down is about three things. Do I have people who can block? Do I have people who can win? And is my coach creative to find those matchups either to attack the defense?
No.
but that's the reality, yeah, you know? And that's why I've harped on this year. And they're not the only team in the NFL that way, though. But that's why, you know, I've said this about Baltimore, too. Baltimore can't live in 3rd and 7. They don't have the people, you know? And so that's why I've harped on so much this year of, like, being committed to that very specific style of run game and that very specific style of pass game on early downs, because you can't get to 3rd and 5, 3rd and 6. You're not good enough with the people that you have, nor the creative scheme that you deploy. So that the third down stuff is a little bit understood. The red zone stuff, the end of the half, the fact that they didn't score a point in the fourth quarter, you look at and sit there, certainly you want that changed. But I honestly believe, like, if you got to look at the positive that of the performance of the quarterback and the offense overall throughout the four quarters.
Man, so it's almost like I feel like I'm just a delusional fan now when I ask you this question, because I was just about to ask, so they must be close, right? So, like, when someone says, hey, they got to be close, and then you say, well, they don't have this, they don't have that, so it feels like a delusional adventure to think that they're going to fix it.
Well, their margin of error is just smaller.
It's zero.
You know, like, yeah, correct. I don't want to say it's zero. They're not the Texans, but it's small, you know? And so that's why you have to be so specific about the way that you go play. You can't really have wasted plays. You can't really have, let's just give this a try type of plays. There's got to be a very specific plan. And that's why I made that initial point of, okay, they played Minnesota, and you saw when he was in the gun, it was catch and throw to the perimeter. Now, was that because they wanted to try to out-leverage the defense that was playing a ton of zone, or that they realized we can't play versus a man coverage team in a drop-back game, so let's just kick the ball out to the sideline. So that the plan and the execution need to be relatively specific for them, because they don't have, you know, Kansas City doesn't need to be great on first down. The Bills don't need to be great on first down.
Right.
Because they've got the capability of overcoming that on those later downs. The Patriots, they need to have a very methodical approach.
So, Dan, it sounds like you were mostly a fan of the game plan that they gave to Mac Jones on Thanksgiving. I'm wondering what you saw from Mac Jones individually that he can carry through the rest of this season to continue having more success.
Yeah, I would say three things. One, the conviction that he played with where he was supposed to go with the football. You know, I've said this on your guys' show multiple times. Last year, Mac knew what the answer of why was, meaning like, oh, why are we calling this? I know why we're calling this. Where this year, it seems like he's asking, why are we calling this? I don't know why. And there was more conviction with where he's supposed to go with the football. I think the second thing is, it's probably his best game this year as far as using his eyes to move the defense. That goes back to point one. Why are we calling this? Why are we calling this kind of nod go route to take our shot down the field? Well, we think we're going to get rotation late, and as long as I hold that safety, the leverage of the receiver, and that's the big ball down the left sideline. And then I think the third thing was probably like that. One of my things that I love about Mac is the upper body torque snap release. Doesn't need to have his feet in perfect position while he often does. You saw a couple of the slant throws where he just catch, throw, snap, release. And that again tells me like, oh, he saw it. He's seeing it well. He's playing fast mentally without being hurried mechanically.
Talking to Dan Orlovsky, ESPN. And Dan, obviously in the end, they just made too many mistakes. And we hear broadcasters all the time now when they call these games say uncharacteristic mistakes for the New England Patriots. But we're at the point now, we've been hearing that an awful lot the last 3 years.
Sure.
I mean, really, I mean, it's almost like we can't say that anymore because it's more characteristic of what these teams have been the last 3 years, right? That's why they
totally
lose games.
Oh, totally. Yeah. And it's probably out of respect for Coach Belichick, right? And the program he has, and probably not trying to rub him the wrong way. But yeah, it's that's kind of who they are. No one wants to admit it, that this is a, you know, average-y team, you know, and has been maybe above average team. You guys asked me last week, are they good? I said, yeah, they're a good team. Like, they're good. But they're not a team that can overcome so many deficiencies and or overcome mistakes. You know, Marcus Spears yesterday was talking on NFL Live, and the reality, he said this, if Matthew Judon doesn't get home, no one on their rush team is winning. You know, so it's like, it's Matthew Judon. If he doesn't dominate, it's not that difficult to play against that pass rush. And Ryan Clark said yesterday, they don't have a dude in the coverage group, like a guy that they sit there and say like, hey man, go lock this guy down for a long period of time. So, it's a good team. They're a good team, but they can quickly become a below average team with some of those controllable mistakes.
So we're talking to Dan Orlovsky, and Dan, obviously the big game tomorrow night for the Patriots against the Buffalo Bills and Josh Allen.
Yeah.
So we talk about regression for Mac a lot, and it's obvious what those issues are. Just looking at some of the stats for Josh Allen, leads the NFL in interceptions and had some, you know, some bad ones, especially at the end of the game against Minnesota. Like, what's his problem? Like, I know he's still playing at a high level.
Sure.
I know he's still good, but like, what's missing there with him this year?
Yeah, I'd say we probably underestimated the loss of Brian Daboll, who's obviously now the head coach in New York. And that's not a knock on Ken Dorsey to sit there and say he's bad. He's good. It's just Daboll is very unique and very special. And he, you know, the loss of him and really in situational football, some of the late game stuff, that's where Josh has been a little bit erratic, is like crucial moments. But that's the type of player he is. He's streaky. He's live by the three, die by the three mentality. I think Josh's greatest strength is also has at times, and it's shown this year, to become his greatest flaw. Josh's greatest strength is there is not a single play and or a single throw that he does not think he can go be the guy to make. And that allows him to play Superman ball. And that's what we love about him. But he's got to learn to curb his competitiveness in moments. And you saw like the interception late against Minnesota. There's a check down right in front of him. And he double hitches and like tries to rip this in route in. And it's, you know, you love that because you think, oh, I can make that throw because I've made that throw. And I made it 2 weeks ago against Kansas City for the game winner to Dawson Knox. But it also occasionally has gotten him into trouble this year. And but I think that the more they get him to, in those moments situationally, like, no, okay, now's the time to go for the kill, or now's the time that I got to sit there and say, defense, you won this rep. You know, it's a balancing act, though, because I've said this about him. You can't take it away. Like, you can't take that superpower away from him, because it would make him great.
Dan, I want to go back to something that you said a couple minutes ago about Mac Jones looking like he was playing with more conviction. Where do you think that comes from? Is that from believing in the game plan that he's given that week? Or was it just the confidence behind the offensive line? Did the offensive line look that much better to you from a quarterback perspective?
No, I think the big thing is he was able to predetermine. And I've been outspoken about this. Like, everyone you hear broadcasters say, well, you can't predetermine where you're going to throw the football to. I totally disagree with that. I don't think you assume where you're going to throw the football to. Predetermine is like, hey, this is my play call. All right, they're in cover three. Well, this play call stinks versus cover two, but it's really good versus cover three. So I think I'm going to throw this comeback to the field, unless. And you don't assume that that comeback to the field is going to be wide open, but you predetermine, I'm throwing that ball unless that flat defender gets under there. That's what I mean by when I say, like, you can predetermine without, you know, assuming. And also, that's what it means for me, at least, when I sit there and watch a guy play with conviction. Like, I know where I'm throwing this ball. And that's when I can use my eyes to move people. I don't care. I'm not reading you to see where I should throw it. I'm moving you to the place where I know you don't want to be, so I can throw it to the place where I do want to throw it to. And that's what conviction looks like to me.
So it's kind of just demonstrating a little bit of control, it seems like.
Yeah, I mean, it's control for sure. It's also like, I've always said this, you know, when we use the phrase, well, quarterback processes quickly, the way I phrase that, and this is what Mac looked like on Thanksgiving, this is my play call. This play call has a problem and it has an opportunity. Is the defense giving me the problem or the opportunity? And that's processing. And then this defense, that defense gives me a problem or opportunity. And what's it like versus that play call? And it's knowing all of that stuff in a very short period of time and then going and doing it.
All right, Dan Orlovsky, ESPN. Dan, we were talking yesterday how the Patriots last 2 years, the 3-13 when they allow 17 points or more. They don't win games in the 20s as we saw here on Thursday night. So you tell me, tomorrow night, can this defense keep Josh Allen and the Buffalo Bills to 20 points, to 17 points, and win this football game?
I don't think so. You know, not with Buffalo having a little bit more time coming off of, you know, Thanksgiving. They have a full week instead of a traditional, so does New England. But, you know, they have a full week of preparation instead of that shortened Thursday time frame. You know, Gabe's the big playmaker everyone knows in New England. But I'd say this, that there's two things that I think are the key for New England defensively. Three things. I think Buffalo, and I've said this all year, and they kind of dip their toe in it too often, is that they should use a fullback more. He really changes their offense, both in their under center run game and then their under center play action game. So New England's going to have to handle their fullback. I think that when they put Steph into the boundary and they're in their 2x2 formation, they're very simple. Steph, you're going to run a go route, you're going to run a stop route, you're going to run a little short and slant. How does New England defend that? Because it's if you looked at that statistic, it's like an 85% positive rate for Buffalo. And, you know, it's like taking, you know, candy from a baby, so to speak. Mm-hmm. And then they don't have a lot on structure right now, Buffalo offensively. That's the thing I don't like, is there's not a lot on time. There's not a lot in structure. How much can New England force him to play out of structure, but also not allow the big play in that moment? If they can, you know, because he's got a little recess to him right now, and he's getting a little loose with it. And if they can get him to do that, but also not have success when he does it, that bodes well for them.
All right, Dan. Dan Orlovsky, ESPN. Hey, listen, we appreciate it, man. Always love talking to you every Wednesday.
Thanks, guys. Have a great week.
All right, there it is, Dan Orlovsky, ESPN. When we come back, we'll dive into a little Patriots. Get ready for this game here. Ty Law said some interesting things about this secondary, whether they can hold up against Steph Diggs and Gabe Davis. You'll hear that next.
Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is here to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify is got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 15% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the US. And Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning 24/7 help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
Hi, I'm Lauren Sherman, the host of Fashion People. I love fashion, obviously, but shopping for fashion online is kind of annoying. There's endless scrolling, my size is always out of stock, and I can't actually find what I want. No one has really made this work for me. That is until List. Instead of browsing different stores one by one, on List you can see and shop all of the best fashion. List is the secret shopping weapon now used by all my most stylish, cool, and in-the-know friends. Don't shop around. Join 200 million fashion shoppers, including me, on List.com. That's L-Y-S-T. Or download the List app on the App Store today.
We're back to Marloni, Fourier, and Mego on WEEI.
Let it breathe a little bit.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, out of respect, you gotta let Little Fleetwood Mac play, right?
Yeah, I mean,
the news of Christine McVie,
yeah,
passed away at 79 years old. I guess she just—it says that she passed away peacefully at the hospital while surrounded by family, following a short illness. She was 79 years old.
Wow,
a short illness.
Wow, I mean, this is a great band, by the way. But here's the thing:
one of my favorites.
Really?
Mm-hmm.
Really?
I know, out of my generation, but my parents are both huge Fleetwood Mac fans,
yep.
So it was kind of like our family band.
Is it because like everybody was sleeping together in the band and having an affair?
That's what my parents told me.
I didn't
when
know
I was
the inside
seven.
Story on that.
Yeah.
One.
I just looked up this article, Lou. Here it is, real quick. It says that no one was speaking inside the incestuous affairs that nearly destroyed Fleetwood Mac.
Like, yeah. I'm not sure that we should be doing this in the same segment as remembering Christine McVie.
I mean, it's part of her life.
But
she's great. We love her.
They put together just about the greatest album
because
in rock history from beginning to finish, Rumors, and none of them could freaking stand each other.
Well, they loved each other or they hated each other.
I'll just say there was always a couple people that kind of liked each other at one point.
At that point, they all hated each other.
Because
that album.
I just feel like it's like that. That there's got
to
be like a 30 for 30 on that.
No, they need to make it like
a
Netflix TV show. Like they need to dramatize it.
Really?
Don't you think?
I'd be totally into that.
It's crazy no one has yet.
I know. It'd be so great. Or just a movie. Make it a straight up movie. But I think the TV show is the way to go.
Yeah. I feel like this is a bad time for me to bring this up. I don't know why. Maybe I feel like I should bail on it.
Oh, God. Because
I didn't even know that she died. And I'm sitting there doing all this stuff. So I just had this. I was going to come in and complain about the fact that I can't stop eating sugar.
Wait, Christian.
Wait, what?
Yeah.
Why are you making this about
me? Mago, well, it was always going to be about me. It was just like we added Fleetwood Mac.
This is the squirrel segment.
No, it was. I said, give me a second. How hard is it for you to give up sugar if you had to give up sugar? You've done it. Lou, didn't you do your diet when you got so skinny? Did you give up sugar?
Yeah, you don't have the need for it. I mean, could I give up sugar?
For a month and everything that is in sugar.
Well, see, that's the
cookies,
thing. Now it's
candies,
like,
everything,
snacks,
coffees, snacks.
See, I don't put it in my coffee. Oh, which that's is true. A plus.
You have to specify added sugar because there's natural sugar in like bananas. Bananas are
well,
great.
Well, no,
you.
That's not what I can. I don't count. Yeah, like added. Just, like, yeah, added sugar. Now, added if sugar. I say sugars, you got to give up sugars. You don't think I mean bananas?
No, or an apple. Look like some breads that you get will have sugar in it.
No,
like,
that's not what I mean. Just okay. I'm talking like sugar, like sugars in cookies,
like candy.
Yeah,
all
easily.
the bad sugar, the stuff that it. You. So I was doing it for a while. I'm just going to admit to this real quick.
When
I feel like
this?
I have to do this.
And then
was,
you were miserable?
For like a week, I've been doing it for
my
a week.
My wife couldn't do it.
So today, I made my second cup of coffee, and I was like, you know, I just don't like it. I was like, nobody's looking. Put some sugar in there.
Okay, we didn't know you were doing this, so why would we be holding you accountable?
Here's the thing. Like,
I saw Christian put sugar in his coffee.
Shame on you, Christian.
I've been watching very closely.
It's not like telling.
He hasn't been having sugar.
You guys got to hold me accountable.
You don't need to hide it if we don't know you're doing it.
Damn it, that's right.
You know what I mean?
That's right. Yeah, giving up sugar.
But apparently you're not giving up sugar.
I'm telling Megan that you the amount of sugar you used to put in your
life. Yeah.
You're never, ever sugar shame.
You're not giving up sugar, though, because you're sneaking sugar on the side.
Well, that's why I'm admitting to it.
He likes the thrill. He
likes
I'm
admitting
to
it.
Yeah.
He likes being a bad boy.
You're a sugar voyeur.
Ooh, look at me. I got put two packets. There was a time where I would put literally probably half a cup to a cup of sugar in my coffee.
To go with that cream milk mixture that you put in. Yeah. It wasn't bad. Even like there was like half of it, a quarter of it was coffee.
I don't know how you do black coffee. Like, I just don't get it, how you can just drink it. It just tastes like hot water.
Well, it's like they say, once you go black, you never go back.
So it works for coffee too, huh?
It does work, for coffee.
My feeling with sugar is, like, can you enjoy life? You know, it's like...
Says the skinny one who has like, weighs like 95 pounds.
Who gets skinny shamed.
What's the big deal? You can't eat sugar?
Who gets
skinny shamed.
I eat sugar all the time. Unless you have
some kind of like...
It's
nine
true.
Energy.
Look, I'm getting.
Today.
I know. I have my Mountain Dews. These are zero sugar. Just so you know.
You know, someone who's skinny cannot sit there and go, you know, just live your life. Just eat it.
Just eat what
just
you want.
Fine. You know, what's the big deal?
Yeah, my metabolism. I have a metabolism of like a 14-year-old boy.
I mean, it's in and it's out like this, and you need more.
I did run 4 miles this morning,
see,
which is
again.
Not what you did. And then Christian told me,
little brag.
Hold on. I need you guys to weigh in on this. Behind
the
glass.
Humble brag.
I know. Right?
What was the time? What was the time? You want to share the time?
How far did you run today, Lou?
I ran to the mailbox and back.
I took my dog for a walk.
They told me, Christian said that running is not working out.
Nope, it isn't.
He said it's not working out.
I
think running is one of the hardest workouts.
No, it's not working out.
Running
is totally different.
Someone gets on a treadmill and runs. What are they doing?
It's not working.
Wasting time.
That's not working out.
They're running. That's what they're doing.
That's
I ran as a kid.
It is the most natural workout.
No, it isn't.
Yes, it is.
Doesn't count.
Okay. It's what we are made to do.
Okay, naturally, like running is just something that we all can do at any point in time.
Some of us are made to do that.
It's not really
some
working out.
Work.
Yes, it is.
No, it isn't really working. It's not the same. Look at a runner's mentality and somebody who actually lifts weight. Who are trained, like, in the gym.
It's
or,
still
like,
cardio.
What
faster.
Is training? How are you training without running?
I don't consider running working out. I'm sorry.
What about doing sit-ups? What about doing sit-ups?
Sit-ups is a form of working out.
How is that different
abs.
From running?
It's different. It's all cardio. It's all
cardio. You realize
cardio.
When you run,
and
you
anyone,
use just about every
consider,
muscle in your body.
I consider lifting. I consider working out more of a, so weights have to be involved. Like, some sort of like something, some sort of like, you know,
yeah,
barbell.
But you can still
has to
work out cardiovascular. You can still run.
Sit-ups,
you can still
no barbell.
Bike. You can still whatever. Do like the step thingies. You can still, that's still working out.
Yeah, if somebody's on the Stairmaster, is that working out?
It's a different form of
running.
Running
sucks.
It's a different form of running.
What about swimming?
It doesn't count
Swimming's
either.
Swimming's a workout.
Don't tell Jaylen Brown.
Doesn't count either. No, it doesn't count either. Playing basketball in the pool doesn't count as an actual basketball workout.
See, this is insane.
That sounds fun. This is where I would agree with Christian. If it's the only thing you're doing, if running is the only thing you're doing, I don't want to hear it. If you're running as a warm-up or running as a cool-down after you've done, you know, sit-ups, lifting, whatever.
And first of all,
running,
Ryan,
then I think it all fits in.
Here's the other thing, Ryan. I hate runners. You know what? Here's the thing about runners. Here's about runners.
Sorry, go ahead.
Oh, the endorphins. Oh, it was so I hit 8 miles. I'm like, oh, just... I get so much energy because of the high I get from, like, oh, yeah, can't wait to go. It was on my playlist when I run 9 miles tomorrow. I who cares how far you ran? What stupid music you lifted you ran to? Nobody cares, Mego, that you can run 8 miles.
You sound comment. Fat right now.
Lifters, I mean, runners don't bother me, but I can honestly say that I have never in my entire life put on, like, ear pods and gone for a jog.
What? What?
Ever.
Me
in
neither.
My entire me neither. Life.
Christian, I know you're lying.
I swear
you
I have never.
Ever.
Wait, what do you mean I'm lying?
How did you get in shape for the fitness test you had to run?
I ran sprints, but we don't run. I didn't run with earbuds on. I never did it in my life.
Going to do
it. Sprints is part of training.
If I go out to the field down the street from me and I run sprints, I do a sprint workout.
That's different.
Totally.
Is that a workout?
Yeah.
Different. But it's considered a workout based on how it adapts
it's
with
running.
You.
She's got you in the blender right now.
Yeah.
I was sprinting running. And running is not running.
No, sprinting is more of a cardiovascular, high intensity something that emulates
shuttles.
Football.
It's running.
Like shuttles.
This is
it's running.
No,
stupid.
It's more of a workout.
If I go to the track,
8 miles, that is sustained running. It's different than sprint work. For me, it's more of a workout. I'm building my legs. I'm getting strong. I'm getting quick. All you're doing is putting your earbuds and they're just going, I'll be back whenever.
For the record, last week I came
back
in.
Whenever.
I came in and I was like, oh, my hip is tight because I was running sprints yesterday. And Christian looked at me and goes, why are you running sprints?
Well, that is a good question.
Yeah, why you're not training
what
for
you training
anything.
For?
Well, see that. Good job.
What are you
but why? But healthy. Why are you running sprints? Like
it's good for
guy
your
like
heart.
You. Like I would never run sprints again in my life.
Ever.
Why?
Ever.
I love running.
There's no reason.
It makes me happy.
There's no reason to run sprints.
I like running. I'm not running the sprints that I ran
see,
like
Mega,
in college.
You,
I'm just doing like wind
you played
sprint
a sport,
like intervals.
But you played a sport where like you had to run.
Yeah.
So I mean,
so did Christian.
No,
that's
no.
what I'm saying.
It's
that's
my
why
job.
Christian
no,
is full of it.
He would
no,
run and then
moving
have
the
35
you're
seconds.
You're gaslighting me. Gaslighter.
No.
Gaslighter.
You're crazy.
Gaslighter.
You're crazy.
You're a gaslighter.
Listen, you know, Christian's idea of working out was putting on a pair of rollerblades and some cool Modi in his headphones and skating down Venice Beach Boulevard.
That's a workout.
But Lou, what you're talking about? But what you're talking about? Okay, about putting in your earbuds,
never.
Putting your shoes on, and then say, hey, honey, I'll be back in about 40 minutes.
Never.
I'm going to go track my run.
Never.
Ever in my life.
You never said I'm going to go to the gym and you left for 40 minutes and came back? What difference does that make?
I don't go to the gym. It's not the same. You're not. It's not good. It's not the same. Your gym is outside.
I have a home gym.
You go outside.
My
it's
ring's
COVID
outside.
Related. That's what it is.
Then
the
I go
same.
To my wine cellar, and then I go to my home theater.
Yeah. Whoever has to leave.
Hey,
why
another
leave?
Another COVID project. Just COVID created a lot of opportunities.
Yeah, no, running's a punishment.
You know running's different. Yes, thank you. Running is a punishment.
Running's a punishment.
It is
I never
painful.
Understood that. Like, you know,
not
like,
a workout.
Like the track team gets in trouble. What do they make you do? Hit baseballs.
They make you do push-ups
they
and sit-ups.
They make you do push-ups and sit-ups. That's
yeah,
what
that's
do.
What they
make you lift
literally
weights.
What they make you do.
They make you do curls.
I mean, what are we doing? No, running is a punishment. I've never gone out for
same.
A jog in my
you
entire
guys are
life.
Pathetic.
You know what? That's actually a great point, though, Lou, because anytime like I ever got in trouble, it was like the punishment was for us to run.
Which is why I hate it.
Yeah, same. Like when I see runners, I go, that's enjoyable to you? That's like
ooh,
a that's a post-traumatic
pumping.
Stress disorder. It's like, what? You want me to run for fun? But I didn't do anything wrong. It's like, I'm not in trouble?
No.
I'm doing this just because I enjoy it.
How's that Peloton doing, Lou?
Not good.
Not good.
You want one cheap?
Is that a workout?
Yeah.
Okay,
yeah, that's considered
why
a workout.
Is that a workout?
First off, I'm on your side. Running is a workout.
Okay,
I just choose
you.
Not to do it because I think it's stupid.
No, it's not a workout.
It's not stupid. It's just hard for you.
Yeah.
I just don't enjoy
it. A medical condition.
What is that?
What's his medical condition?
The bow legs.
Oh, yeah.
He makes it hard for him to run.
I mean, honest to God, how many, like, when you watch
imagine,
the Boston Marathon.
What's wrong with those guys? That guy's legs.
How many of those guys are bow-legged?
None of them.
It's not, I'm not built for it.
No, no.
It's like they're running with a barrel between the
legs. You ever seen tall people run in a marathon? Like, look, do you see how painful that looks for some guy who's like 6'6 running a marathon?
Oh, every time Luke Cornette goes up and down the floor, I feel
like,
bad
geez,
for him.
You got to be like 5'10 and slim. You know, like, that's it. That's all you can do. 5'10, maybe like a 167. In that range, 175, and you can go run. Other than that, nobody wants to do it.
Is Christian giving up sugar or not? that's where we started.
Has, he kind let me go to Mallory, New Hampshire, who wants to get into this running workout thing. Go ahead, Mallory.
Hey guys, so I just wanted to call in. My husband's a cross country coach, and he also coaches track and field, and it's watching him like do workouts. You can definitely, I hear both sides. Like, I definitely hear the whole, you can think of it like it's a punishment, right? That, like, why is anyone running for fun? But genuinely, these kids do the running, or you see these kind of athletes, like you were just talking about with the Boston Marathon. Those type of athletes see running as kind of a motivation to get fit in different ways. Like, he, as a coach, gives his kids, some days he'll do mileage, but some days it's in the weight room doing different exercises because you have to build calf strength. Mm-hmm. And I didn't understand until watching him coach, like, there's a lot of arm strength that goes into how you position your arms. For, like, again, with the Boston Marathon, watching those people and, like, the aerodynamics and the physics behind it. So there is a lot of benefits to running from multiple health perspectives, not just, like, from a cardiovascular.
Mallory, is your husband in, like, the 5'11 range, 175, 180? 5'10?
I would say more like 5'9", 5'10", but he is maybe
165, 170. That's the range. Listen, thanks for the call, Mallory. Listen, I don't hate runners. Like,
Christian, you didn't think it'd be aerodynamic.
It's just not for me.
Well, I'm asking you.
It's just not for me. I don't.
When you go out, do you say, hey, Mr. Who, I'll see you whenever. I'm gonna go on a run, or you can say, I'm gonna go have a workout. I'm gonna go work out real quick. I'm going on a run. You do not say I'm going to work out, because if you're going to work out, you go to the gym.
If I haven't run in a couple days, I'm like, God, I haven't worked out.
No, you'd say I need to go. I'm going on a run.
Like,
nobody says leaves the house with their little silly little running shoes, their stupid little shorts, and all their Vaseline that they put on their nipples. Isn't that what they do? So they
don't
shave.
Do you know that when you run a marathon, you got to put that effort.
Yeah, and they poop in their pants.
Yeah,
I know.
I don't want to.
I don't see how that's enjoyable at all. Hey, I went ran today and I pooped down my leg.
The marathon is not enjoyable.
No,
anyone who tells you that is crazy.
Seems like I'd rather stay up for 25 hours.
But I also have, like, convinced myself over the years that it's bad for me.
100 hurts, bad for your knees,
bad
your
for
joints,
my knees,
your hips.
Bad for my ankles. Yep. I got some bad knees, bad ankles, bad hips. It's bad. I've convinced myself it's bad for me.
Yep.
I
wouldn't do it.
I have never ever in my entire life put on headphones, ear pods, and gone for a jog. I started a conversation. I'm dead serious.
Me
I've
neither,
never
ever.
In my life ever done that.
I'm a little jealous of that though.
Didn't you have to do fitness tests in high school? Like, for your different teams?
What was your fitness
test
in
you played basketball
President's
in high school. Physical. Did you
we'd run.
Test?
We would run.
Do a speed test or something?
No, you'd run suicides.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I'm talking
short,
about you're short
not
distance.
To call those any,
short
that
distance.
Anymore.
I'm talking
like 25
like,
yards,
like,
back and forth,
in
300
high school,
yard show.
In college, yeah, let's put some headphones. We'll go for a jog.
Yeah.
I'd be like, dude,
not a chance.
No shot.
That's a whole. That's
staying
a whole,
here drinking Bud
that's
Lights.
That's like such a cult, too. Like, all the people who run like that, it's just such a weird cult following. Like, everybody's odd. All the runners are
See,
off.
You start attacking runners.
What is wrong with you?
Don't go there.
Just because you
it's
can't
just not for
do
me.
It. Before the show, you told me I would love to
it's
be able
cult.
To just go out for a run.
It's a cult.
And my
it's
body
cultish.
Hurts too much.
It is kind of cult. Lou, it is kind of cultish, though.
Real runners,
it?
Though, you have a runner bodies.
No, but runners would be like, you know, hey, you want to run? Yeah, what'd you do? Like, let's go run together. And then they talk while they're running. Like, when you did do sprints, were you ever able to talk to
no,
the person
barely,
running next to you?
I don't want anybody talking.
Breathe.
Hey, no, what's going on?
I could barely breathe.
I can't wait. Wait, 5 seconds left on the line right now? Okay.
The only tip I ever got was from Mia Hamm, who used to say, chew gum.
Why, you sprint?
Yeah. Really?
I would choke.
I don't know.
I would bite my tongue.
Kind of, something about it that opens up something. I have no idea.
See,
the woman runs for a living.
Also, you know
so
what
I
our
like,
lacrosse coach used to make us do? It's so annoying. She used to make us run our sprints with our mouth guard in, because you have to wear a mouth guard the whole time
you
play lacrosse.
You can't breathe.
Like the ones Raheem and I use when we go to bed?
Not those monsters.
No?
But I would have gum sometimes. Pull a mouth guard out, gum all over the mouth guard.
I think
nasty.
That's, like, listen, I wish I could run. Maybe that's why I'm so angry about it. I wish I could.
Who do you consider more of an athlete, a runner or a NASCAR driver?
Ooh, Ryan.
A runner.
You know I don't think NASCAR is a real athlete either.
I know,
either.
But you just said runners are odd.
Ooh, see, now you backed me into a corner. Now you done did it.
Got to pick one.
I'm going to say a runner.
Runner
that's how much
a runner is more of an athlete.
Yes,
than a
absolutely. Because
thank God.
Absolutely.
NASCAR guy drives a car.
Yeah, no, that
he's
was
a good driver.
But I don't want to say either, but
okay,
like,
how
absolutely.
A
good driver.
How about a runner?
Let me just keep turning to the left and see. The worst thing that happens to them is they got a kink in their neck.
How about a runner or the guy who throws the javelin?
Ooh, that's hard too. You gotta
what's
strength.
More of an athlete?
You gotta have some
javelin,
strength.
Runner
absolutely.
Or the javelin?
Absolutely.
Oh, stop.
You gotta have a good
absolutely.
Arm.
You I do not think the javelin guy is more of an athlete.
And they have to train and work out to throw the javelin.
How about this? The runner or the guy who is like on the skeleton sled in the Olympics that goes down where he just like lays on the sled?
Oh, that's scary. The skeleton guy.
Just because it's scary.
Someone said that's the only sport where a corpse could win a gold medal.
Seriously.
Like bobsledding? Like that thing?
Would you even?
No, not bobsledding.
No, like, the solo one where you lay on your back.
You're just on a little sled and they just push you down.
Will they go head first?
Oh, they do that also.
They go head first or they go feet first. I don't know.
Either way, not a chance.
Okay, one last one. What's more of an athlete? Runner? Or the person with a little broom in the curling team.
Curlers.
Curlers, definitely.
Oh, that is tough.
It's a skill. It's a skill. It is a skill. That's not me being nutty. That's a skill.
No, it is. It's good.
I mean, they're out of shape, but what they're doing is an actual workout, I guess.
They have brooms on ice.
All right. So this 20-minute segment started with how Christian doesn't like running.
No, it started with Fleetwood Mac.
Oh, yeah. Somebody died from Fleetwood Mac.
The incestuous behavior of the band Fleetwood Mac.
Christine McVie, 79 years old.
Let's do this. Let's do the Ty Law next.
Can we go out with some more Fleetwood Mac?
Yeah, please.
Out of respect, because we disrespected the entire segment. We didn't even talk about it, for God's sakes. Ty Law on this secondary, his concerns. By the way, Brian Scalabrine at 4 o'clock. We'll do some Celtics then.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of 4 amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get 4 iPhone 15s on us and 4 lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
After the end of a good fight, you deserve an ice cold reward. Medella, the mark of a fighter. You've earned this rich golden lager with a crisp, refreshing taste. Because you know, the bigger the fight, the better the reward. You put in the hours, the energy, the tough labor. You are a fighter, and Modelo is your reward. Modelo, the mark of a fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
Want to put your baseball skills to the test? Then get ready to show your stuff with MLB Pitch, Hit, and Run. The official youth skills competition of Major League Baseball. Sign up for free for a chance to play your way to the Pitch, Hit, and Run finals at the 2024 World Series. Visit pitchhitrun.com today.
Watch us, love us. Just follow WEEI on Twitch.
This is Merlone, Fourier, and Mego on WEEI.
Oh, this is the commercial. Right? This is the one, isn't it?
Yeah, this is the one.
What commercial is this?
It's a
this
car commercial.
This is everywhere.
God.
By Fleetwood Mac.
I hate to hear a good song. You don't associate with a commercial.
Don't you want to buy a car?
No. All right. We're going to do some pass, but you know what? We got Scal coming up at 4 o'clock, rather. The running endurance thing kind of threw us off track a little bit.
Sorry.
So, no, it's okay. By the way, chewing gum helps you with oxygen intake.
Is that
what
it is?
It helps you breathe through your mouth, apparently. Or your nose. One of those.
Your nose.
It helps.
Your nose.
One of your breathing places.
Somebody in the text line kind of put it out. Yeah. And going head first is skeleton. On your back is louche.
Okay, good thing. We got that all
cleared
up.
Okay, we got that taken care of.
Let's talk about basketball.
We'll talk a little bit of the Celtics here. We'll do the Patriots more after we talk to Brian Scalabrine at 4. But saw this article. I think Megan pointed out CBS Sports. Jaylen Brown's becoming a superstar. It's time we stop thinking of him as the Celtics' second fiddle. And it just sort of dives in. Obviously, you know, Jaylen Brown's a great player. We know he's a great player. And, you know, it's always like this rush to define everybody and who they are and what they are. But in the article, it says Boston has two MVP-level players. I'll stop right there. No, they don't.
No, they don't.
They don't. Does anybody have Jaylen Brown? Where's he in the MVP voting? Listen, I like Jaylen Brown, but honest to God, like
23rd?
They don't have two MVP. Like, it's not watered down what the MVP is. There's like 5-6 guys that are like legitimate MVP candidates. He's not one of them. He's a great player. But is he an MVP candidate?
No.
No. Huh. Not yet he is.
No. It says, no, the Jays aren't in the same category as Steph Curry and Kevin Durant when the tandem shared the court in Golden State. But it's a similar dynamic in that it can almost be impossible to tell on any given night who's actually the top dog.
It's not true.
It's not true either. That's not a knock on Tatum, who's incredible, and to be fair, better than Brown. Okay, but to suggest that the gap depicts a Batman-Robin dynamic has become increasingly inaccurate. We can't default to that setting anymore. Brown is too great in his own right to keep up the shadow of anyone else's star. Like, I don't... Brown's a great player. Tatum's an MVP candidate. What's going on?
NBA.com has the Kia MVP ladder, which they do every week. They did it on the 25th, so there's a new one coming out.
Yep.
Jaylen Brown, 11th.
11th.
Out of 15.
That's not a candidate to me.
He's probably going to go up, though.
You think?
In the last week, yeah.
I don't think, like, okay, so don't you think there's some obvious bias towards Jason Tatum? I feel like I've had this argument with you guys before.
He's better.
No, but if you want to go back to last year and look at the playoffs, like, you can easily say the one guy
who
disappeared, the one guy that was more consistent. Listen, they each had their problems, obviously, okay? But when they needed it most, it was Jaylen Brown who was making the shots. It wasn't Jason Tatum.
So let's talk about this season, because he throws out all these stats about how well Jaylen Brown is playing. He's averaging about 26 points a game through the first 21 games of the season, 6.5 rebounds, 3.4 assists a game, compared to Tatum, who's 31 points a game, 4.5 assists a game, 7.7 rebounds. You know, Tatum is obviously stronger, but they're in the same ballpark. It's not like one is putting up crazy numbers and the other one's putting half as much. Here is the stat that bothers me.
Okay.
Three 3.2 turnovers a game.
Who's that, Jaylen?
That is what Jaylen Brown is averaging a game. That is actually up from the first, I'm going to say, 20 games that he played last year, because he had the injury last year. So we got to, if you go through the first 20 games that he actually played in, he was averaging 2.9 turnovers a game last year. Now he's turning the ball over even more. This was the biggest issue with Jaylen Brown last year, and he got exposed for it so badly through the playoffs and even in the finals, where he was the better player, certainly offensively, and is a great player. But to me, that tells me you didn't fix the thing that was your Achilles heel last year, your Achilles toe, because you dribble off your freaking toes so often. Like, for a quarter of the games through this season, he's turned the ball over 5 or more times, including a couple games where he had 7 turnovers in one game. So, like, don't be coming at me saying that he's don't call him Robin anymore. Well, yes, he's a great player, but what I want to see is growth and minimizing the mistakes that you're making and the things that are holding you back and holding your team back. I mean, to me, that's really frustrating. And you can't say, well, you know, with Malcolm Brogdon out at times and Jaylen Brown, he really acts sometimes as a guard, bringing the ball up. Okay, let's look at Marcus Smart, your primary ball handler. He averages 2 turnovers per game. So don't tell me it's just because Jaylen has the ball. Tatum has the ball a lot. Like, everybody has the ball when they're a star on the team, and he's a star on the team. This is something that he has to fix before you start saying, oh, well, it's not 1 and 2 anymore. It's 1A and 1B.
You're so anti-Jaylen Brown.
I'm not.
Like, you hate,
like,
the fact that people compare
people
him.
People act like it's a mystery why we say that Jaylen Brown and Jason Tatum are not exactly 1A and 1B.
I don't think that it is this bad. I agree. I don't think it's a Batman
flaw.
And Robin.
It's a major
okay,
flaw
fine.
In his game.
Okay, so fine. Like, the turnovers are an issue. Granted, fine.
That and
we
he
get
doesn't
it.
Go left.
Okay, and he still can't dribble to his left. And he still kicks. Whatever. But there is. Do you think there's this wide gap between the two?
No, but it pisses me off.
Do you think it's
that?
Would you label
why aren't we talking about Jaylen Brown
well,
this way?
You should include Jaylen Brown that way.
You can say Jaylen Brown's a great player. You can also say stop turning the ball over.
Okay, you're focusing on one aspect
of
his game.
Crazy.
Okay,
Christian, I talked about it all last year, and it's worse. It's worse this year.
Okay, for now it is a quarter poll. Like, where it's, I get it, fine.
Okay, well, if we're gonna write articles off a quarter poll,
why do you hate him so much? Why are you so resistant?
I don't hate
him. To like giving him his due. No, you don't.
Yes, I do.
Like, you rip him every opportunity you have.
A couple weeks ago, said that you had flipped on him. That you weren't on Jaylen's team anymore.
Oh, that was a social. It was a social. social conscious issues and all that stuff.
Oh, you just don't like his character.
Yeah, I don't like his character. I don't like the social warrior part.
Well, I have an issue with his character. I want him to not dribble off his toes.
That's fine. Okay, but you act like I think people just, my whole issue with the Tatum versus Brown was how it was just an automatic that Tatum was the clear number one. Well, there was lots of times where it wasn't as clear as people made it out to seem, where I feel like they just caught up in the whole, like the media decided that's the guy.
Yeah.
I'm not saying that like Brown is like, you know, the greatest thing ever.
And Tatum is,
but he hasn't proven it. He's been playing better this year.
Tatum has gone off this year.
He has gone off this year, but okay, fine. Like finally, I mean, finally, like
what
he hasn't been.
Finally,
okay,
he was
but
all
it wasn't
NBA
like
last year.
It wasn't like he was like Brown is that far back. I feel like there's this, people like to perceive that there's this huge gap between the two. And Brown, when Jason Tatum is not producing and he's not hitting his shots, it's Brown that is covering up for him.
Well, I would say there's not that big of a gap.
And vice versa.
I mean, I'm just saying, like, Tatum.
Yes.
Tatum's like a top, probably like a top five player in the league right now. And Jaylen Brown's a top 20 player in the league. Arguably maybe in that 15 range. I don't know, something like that. But there is a gap. And I know, you know, Arcan's saying that right now Jaylen Brown's 11th in odds. I just don't consider that like an MVP candidate. You know, I don't. Like, if you
it's
look
not
at,
betting odds. The MVP ladder is just who they think the top.
Right, but I'm just saying.
What are the betting odds, Ryan?
If he is in that. But it's just, to me, it's like, if you go look at any MVP voting, go look who finished 10th. And you're like, he wasn't an MVP. He got votes for probably being 5th, 6th, or 7th. You know, look at baseball. Like, Xander, I think, was 9th. What an MVP year. God, last place team and didn't show up to the last 2 months, kind of.
So, real quick.
So, just, it's, you know, just, it's top, right. I'm just saying, MVP is like three guys. Like, it's like a three-man race. That's an MVP candidate, in my opinion.
Your MVP odds right now, Jason Tatum currently stands at plus 290, and Jaylen Brown...
Which is what? First or second?
He
third.
Would be third. Okay. He's third. Behind Luka, who's plus 270, Giannis plus 280, and then I got to go down all the way down and find Jaylen Brown, who is plus 30,000 with De'Aaron Fox, Karl Anthony Towns, Darius Garland, Paul George.
Where does that put him on that list? Can you even see? Is it like 15 to 20 in that range?
No, he's towards the bottom. Towards the bottom of this list.
Oh, on the list. So there's what, 20, 30 guys on that list?
Yeah, absolutely.
Between, so Jason
between
Tatum,
Jason Tatum and Jaylen Brown.
Playing, Jason
he's
Tatum is basically
better
like
than
1, 2,
Jaylen
3.
Brown is right now. He 100% is free throw percentage, turnovers, points per game, all that stuff. He's playing better than him. Right.
25th in odds.
Yeah. All right, 25th. All right, let's get to Brian Scalabrine, NBC Sports Boston. He calls the games. He's going to join us every single Wednesday at 4 o'clock. Scal's coming up next.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Baseball is back, and so is MLB.tv. Watch every out-of-market, regular season game on your favorite streaming devices. Anywhere, anytime, all season long. Follow the action live or on demand. Track 4 games at once with multi-view mode. And catch up with in-game highlights. Plus, original programs, minor league broadcasts, and local pre- and post-game shows. Go to MLB.tv to start your free trial today. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.